Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to LiveDeliverance.com here on BlogTalkRadio.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. Now, if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 to 11 o'clock p.m. here on Monday evening, we're so glad to have you. And because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's my pleasure to let you know that you can hear all of the Live Deliverance broadcasts on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/events/www.blogtalkradio/live-deliverance, or you can hear them also on the Apple platform. Just go to podcast.apple.com/US. And also you can hear us on the Player FM platform. Just go to player.fm/series/live-deliverance. And as the Lord is releasing his glory all over the world, we'd like to ask you to get involved with this ministry and invite some of your friends, your family members, even your coworkers. Tell them they can come and listen and be blessed. Don't forget that tonight's ministry will be made available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, look for Pastor Steve Lee, and the date of that broadcast. So go ahead and get some paper and a pen. And if you have any questions at the end of the ministry tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. So having said all that, now we can get down to the business of the kingdom. So if you would, join your hearts with me in a word of prayer as I sanctify our time together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ, that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Lord, cause us to grow in the grace that is appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. For you made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, This is part three of a series entitled, And the Lord Was With Joseph. You know, God watches over his word, but not from a distance, because it says he's a very present help in time of need. And he's present to present presence. I'll say that again. God is present to present presence. God and his word are one. So when a word is released from heaven, the Holy Spirit hovers over that word to make sure that it will become active and effective in our lives. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says that God hastens his word to perform it. And Genesis chapter 1, that's when God said, let there be. Just before he said, let there be, the Spirit of God was the one hovering, because he said, let us make man. See, he wants us, his word, in our lives. Okay? Day by day, we walk out the victory. We walk out the process. But sometimes when we're going through, you know, the trial can make us wonder if there's ever going to be a breakthrough. And I remind you again, in Psalms 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Every time you see the word but, I would like to remind you that that's what I call the Holy Ghost eraser. So then whatever he said before is not what we should focus on. We should focus on what's said after the but. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but focus, pay attention here, the Lord delivers them out of them all. I love the word all, because it means all. Anytime you hear that word, it meant everything that God meant for it to mean, to be it implanted in your heart, impregnated in your heart, so that it can seal that and do things. God, God made you the doer. Amen. No, Home Depot doesn't make you the doer. The word of God makes you the doer, gives you the power to do. All right? So I also noticed that there was not a time frame for relief in this scripture. Okay? Now you don't see it. What I see in that scripture is a faithful promise and the desired end result, deliverance. It's good to know that even God is more interested in your deliverance than you are. Uh-huh. He wants you to prosper. Beloved, above all things, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See? So as we believe through the trial, not just believe to the trial, it's good to know that you've been given the, entrusted with the word of God, and is carried by you as a witness and for a testimony of glory. When Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, here comes that but again. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, Jesus had the expectation that we're supposed to be in the proper attitude, the proper perspective that's needed for victory. He said, when you see trouble, be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Because it's already done. It's already finished. Even before the cross and Jesus knowing what was going to happen, he said, I have overcome the world. Not I will overcome. I have overcome. See, we just get to walk it out the same way Jesus walked it out by faith. Knowing that what his Father had said is what he can live in. See? Because we've been admonished to live by the word of God, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See? So that's what his promise is. Sometimes we kind of wonder, you know, why I got to go through this. We even question God about the trial, not because we need an answer, But because we have that heart's position of pride, why me? Why this? Why now? And I do understand those seem to be relevant questions, but Jesus answered each one of them already. I have overcome the world. We were looking at Joseph's life and allowing our heart to kind of hear it, because the scripture, the Bible says that the scriptures that we read, they were there for our admonition. They were there to help us to know how to traverse from the beginning of the trial through the end unto deliverance. James chapter 1 says, brethren, when you enter or fall into divers tests and trials, know this. Because if you don't know this, then you're going to think that you're going to go with the why me, why now kind of a syndrome. But if I know that God delivers me out of them all, if I know that there's no temptation taking me but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape so that I can carry victory in my life. Okay? It's not just enough to stand against it. That's good. But what would be better is that you would receive the word and walk out that word step by step unto victory. Because God is faithful, that promise. He will not allow you to be suffered above that which you can bear. See? But we'll at the same time you're being tempted. See? Sometimes we get into a situation and we're trying to see if God even knows where I am. Well, before you came in contact with the trial, there was a word that was given to you. We need to look at, hold on to that word, find that word. Okay? Because as you find that word, then the strength from that word causes you to be able to enjoy victory. And Jesus, before the cross, said, be of good cheer, I have overcome. See? And we can't go through anything on the degree that Jesus did. Jesus was going through the eternal plan of God for our lives at the same time. All of our lives. See? It wasn't just okay, let me get a reprieve and come back in 30, 40 years and get the next bunch. No, he took the sin of the world upon him and then brought victory through all of those sins, transgressions, complications. He's already answered each and every one of them. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we need to look at some of the things that happened to Joseph so that we can see the hand of God, okay, and to see the plan of God. Amen. See, sometimes because we don't see the hand of God moving, we stop looking for the plan of God. But when you walk in the word, then you will be looking for the plan of God, knowing that the plan of God is what moves the hand of God. Okay? And as we stand in faith, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See? God, I'm not trying to ask God why. I already see the plan of God, and that's for me to be victorious. He always causes me to triumph. He gives me the victory. See? And because I know that and I function or I start walking from that position, there's nothing the devil can do because the devil is now under my feet. I'm not trying to ask God to come up with a new plan. The plan of salvation has already been settled. He is able to save to the uttermost. Amen. See? So we have to be in the right thought process, the right frame of mind, the right position of heart, knowing that he has already overcome. And so we were looking at Genesis chapter 37 and seeing what happened. It says here that Joseph, Israel loved Joseph, I think verse 2, more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. Beloved, if you find yourself in a test or a trial, please know that the ones that are seasoned, he was of old age, that God is concerned about you. The ones that are newborn, God is concerned about you exactly the same way. God doesn't have stepchildren. Amen. All of us are equally in the position where the word of God that was sent to us will work. God doesn't have favorites, but he shows himself faithful to those that faithfully seek him. Is that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I'll say it a ton of ways. The answer to your problem is in your problem. Okay? I mean, sometimes we don't want to hear that. We'll say, no, I need the answers to my problem to be moving me away from here. No, when you win the victory where you stand, then you'll enjoy, glory to God, then you'll enjoy the victory where you're going. Having done all to stand, do what? Stand there for. See? Make sure that you are dressed correctly there, having on the whole armor of God. And again, when the devil sees that armor, he does not know if there's you or God in that armor. All he knows is the last time he saw that armor, he got his head brought to him. I would say his hat brought to him. But, you know, he recognized that armor was his view of defeat. Amen. See? So we're going to have to walk in the victory that's in Christ Jesus. Israel was in his old age. And Israel, from that old age, still was doing the work of God. See? So I guess that's what God is asking us, is are we going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like he is? That it doesn't matter about, you know, what I'm facing. My God is faithful. See? So then Joseph was loved of his father because he was the son of his old age. It told us also that he was 17 years old when the process of God started dealing with him. He was 17. Okay? Like I said, you can start at Genesis chapter 31. I stopped 31. 37. And verse, so you can see it, verse 2, it says that these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. He was 17, and God started dealing with him so that as he walked out the call of God for his life, day by day, God showed or revealed more of himself to him. So it says that that they were working, verse 5, said, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. And okay, wait a minute, I'm sorry. I want to remind you about the coat of many colors. His love was so great for Joseph that he made him a coat. And in that day, your clothes meant something, okay? When Joseph would walk around anywhere in the city, people would see that coat of many colors, and they could ask him about it or watch it, that no one else had a coat like that. See, that was to remind Joseph of the favor that was on his life. Please know that sometimes favor causes other people to become envious. And so Joseph living his life, this is what happened. He said that Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his dream to the brothers. And because he told them what the dream was, they yet hated him the more. And he said, here, come on, y'all, please, hear my dream. This is what I dreamed. I dreamed that we were all working, binding sheep in the field. And lo, my sheep arose and stood up, upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep. And his brother said, shall you indeed reign over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. 17, how would you like that? To just be living, and then God gets involved with your life, and people hate you because God is involved in your life. Sometimes that happens. It's not intended to, because what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to just simply glorify God. We're supposed to live our life in a position that causes God to be pleased. Because God says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. So we just keep going, keep doing what God wants us to do. And then it said, in verse 9, he dreamed another dream. And he told his brethren, I dreamed more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars did obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brother. And his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves before to the earth? And his brothers envied him. He said, but his father observed the same. He kept his eye on what God was doing. He didn't notice, see, those that are spiritual can do the right thing. The brothers hated the one who said it. The father just observed the saying. See? He said, let's see what God's going to do. This dream that you have came from God, so let's just see. And so then, I stated that the dream didn't stop Joseph from working, okay? Because he sent him to do some stuff after he was the dreamer. He sent him to work after he was the dreamer. Just want you to know that. And so he says that he sent him in verse 12. It says that his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, doth not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? He said, come, I'm going to send you to them. And he said, yes, that's good. Here I am. See, the dream didn't cause them to be puffed up in pride. Didn't stop them from serving. Okay? See, we're going to have to learn to operate in where we were called. They learn to walk in our favor. Sometimes when we're in bad situations, God will show you things to come. He wants you to think about your future. Come on now, y'all. He wants you to think about your future more than you think about your now. Amen. Because if you think about your now and all the frustrations, then you're not going to be wanting to serve God in fullness. Because you're going to be asking the why me. Okay? You will be having conversations through pride, with pride, rather than knowing what your destiny is. Your destiny, beloved, cannot be stopped by anybody other than you. Amen. Your destiny is already laid out, steps that are preordained that we should walk in them. See? So the brothers hated him even more. They envied him even more. And so he went on to the verse 14. He said, go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and with the flock, and bring me word again. And he sent him, and he went in the valley of Hebron. It came to pass, and he came to Shechem, and he found a man, and a man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And he asked him, what you looking for? And he said, I'm looking for my brother, the feet where they're feeding the flocks. And the man said, they departed from hence, and they went to Dothan. So he went to Dothan. And when he saw them afar, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said to one another, behold, this dreamer cometh. So they intended to hurt him, kill him, actually. And then Judah said, no, we can't do that. That's not going to be good. And so they said, let's put him in a pit, and we'll get him. I'll come back and get him out the pit. And so they notice in verse 23, because when he got there, the first thing that they did is they took off that doggone coat. That's just like the enemy, to take away the favor that God has intended to be in your life through frustrations and fears. He's come, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So he wants to take away your understanding of the favor that God has for you. That's just a typical thing, what you see the devil do. And they put him in the pit. And the pit was empty and nothing to drink in it. And so they lifted up their eyes, and behold, they saw some Ishmaelites that were from Gilead, and with their camels bearing spiceries and balm and myrrh. And they were going to carry it to Egypt. And so Judah said unto his brother, it's not profitable if we should slay our brother and conceal his blood. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And the brothers were content to do that. Then there passed by a Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Ishmaelites brought Joseph into Israel. And then when Reuben came back into the pit and Joseph was gone, Reuben rent his clothes and said, man, look here, our father ain't going to like this at all. All right? And so they went home and told his father, brought the coat and of many colors, and told the father, look here, we don't know if this is your son's coat or not. I mean, you know, it gets to be kind of crazy. And that when you do stuff, you don't even want to confess to your sin so you can be healed. They said, we don't know if this is our brother's coat. He said, verse 32, they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this we have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Ain't nobody else in the city had a coat like that. But they weren't going to take the blame for it. All right? And then we have a passage of time. And verse 38 talks about some of the time that passed and how it passed. It's interesting here that it states that Judah had two sons. All right? Verse 7 says that Er was Judah's firstborn, and he was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and so the Lord slew him. And Judah, okay, I just want you to see, read down to it, because it's a long story, and I was trying to just cut some time in half. But it says that in verse 2, in verse 38, chapter 38, that he saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, and he took her to wife, and he took her and went into her, and she conceived and bare a son, and called his name Earth. And she had conceived again and bare a son and called his name Onan. So I was saying the passage of time, that has to be what? Around 2 years right there, period. Because 9 months for a baby and then 9 months again, that's 18 months. That's a year and a half by death. But it's probably even longer. So just say two and a half years. And then so Joseph's gone now for at least those 2.5 years. And then after they grew up, so now look at it, understand, 2.5 to have the kids, then they grew up. So let's just go on and throw another 15 years on that, all right? So that's 34 years, right? So then now Joseph, well, it can't be 34 because it's going to be another scripture that's going to say something there. But we know it's at least more than 28 years, all right? I just want you to kind of see that as a thing. And so then Judah found out that his son's wife, okay, his son's wife it was more righteous than he was, because he said he was going to promise to give them the third son. And when he was old, he didn't give it to her. So then she got pregnant, and it was kind of interesting that when she got pregnant, he gonna talk about her, because she's a widow and she wasn't married. And then she said, well, the man that gave me this ring and this staff, that's who I'm pregnant by. And it was his ring and his staff. And so he recognized that she was more righteous than she was. But after he found out that's what happened, he didn't go into her anymore. So then in chapter 39, that it goes up, pick up the story of Joseph, who was brought down to Egypt, and to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian. And he was brought there by the this word is fun for me today, Ishmaelites. I don't know why. I just want to, he was brought down there from the Ishmaelites. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 39, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Excuse me. And Joseph found grace in the sight, and he served him. And he made him the overseer in his house of all that he put his hand to. And it came to pass that from that time that he made him the overseer of his house and over all that he had. And because he did that, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon him in all that he had, in the house and in the field. And he left all in the hand of Joseph, and he didn't even know what he had except the bread that he was eating. I mean, man, look at this kind of trust that God gave Joseph. He brought him to the place where the man could trust him, and he didn't even know what he had, all right? And then the story takes a turn. And it said that Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass that after these things, the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master don't know what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he hath unto my hand. There is none greater in this house, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because you are his wife. So how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, to lie with her. But he wouldn't. And so one day, Joseph was doing his business in the house, and there was no other men in the house within. And she called him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled it and got out. And it came to pass when he had left his garment in her hand and it fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, He has brought this Hebrew into Machus, and he came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass that after he heard, I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment and fled and got him out. And he, then she laid his garment upon by her till her Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us, he came to mock me. And it came to pass that I cried with my voice, and he left his garment and fled out. So it came to pass when the master heard the words of his wife, and that she spake, saying, after this manner did thy servant unto me, his wrath was kindled. And he, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison where the king's prisoners were. And he was bound, and he left him there in the prison. But then the verse 21 says what? But the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the prison. Now, we got to look at this. Here comes Joseph that was just dreaming a dream. And because his brothers didn't like the dream, they sent him into all of this turmoil in his life. I believe that sometimes that our circumstances that God allows to us, and they shouldn't speak through us. What do I mean? That sometimes we glorify our challenges more than we glorify God. You know, so people ask for a testimony, and they start the testimony off with, well, the devil did this. If it's a testimony unto the Lord, wouldn't it be wiser to say, the Lord kept me? He kept me through any test, trial, or situation. But I've been in praise services where that's what they do. They spend 20 minutes talking about the thing that they had to go through step by step. You know, I found that it's not necessary to go step by step, but just say the Lord's faithfulness was displayed. The devil attacked, and God delivered, as he said he would. But when we do stuff like that, because, I don't know, it could be our hurt pride speaking. I don't know. But I call it the applied grace of God that we misappropriate. Okay? It's from me, with we become complacent and settle ourselves in the permissive will of God through the testimony that we say. You know? If I'm speaking about the faithfulness of God in every way, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. But if I'm giving more glory to God, the devil, than I am to God, then I become complacent that the devil can just keep on doing what he's doing. I found that, you know, we're supposed to grow in grace. We're not supposed to go round and round. We're supposed to go through. Go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Because remember, Jesus said, I have overcome. See? Our hearts are supposed to hear what God is wanting to do, because he's speaking to our future, not just to our now. We're supposed to grow from grace, right? From grace to grace. We're supposed to know that this is the victory that overcomes. I wonder sometimes, are we believing for trouble or for triumph? Faith speaks, glory speaks, favor speaks, love speaks, all of the fruit of the Spirit speaks, because you've been made more than a conqueror through him that loved us. See? We got to go back and connect our heart with the place where glory is pouring out. Not just to go through stuff, you know, being frustrated. We're supposed to get strengthened, okay? But sometimes we get a little, like I said, complacent, and then we might get upset. And we come out of position, because we were supposed to be in the position where faith speaks. But when we get mad, we kind of do what the sons of thunder did, James and John. in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Look at that. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Through 56, going to talk about the sons of thunder. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus was supposed to be received up that he set, look at this, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. See, even though he knew what was going to happen, he didn't try to prolong the process by going around the mountain. He said he steadfastly face like a flint, hard to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans, and they were to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. But because his face was as though he should go to Jerusalem, and his disciples, James and John, saw this, and they said, Lord, would you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah, the way it's written here is just, that's just the transition. But it was Elijah. He said, you want them to calm down like Elijah? And Jesus turned and rebuked him. And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. He says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to go to another village. See, how many times have we got mad and asked, believe God to destroy the people that we mad at? See, but he didn't come for that. He came to save them. See, it was interesting to me that they were walking with grace himself. And they wanted to do things that were contrary to the flow. Paul spoke to us about this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ does what? He lives in me. And he says, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. Okay? So I just wonder, do we find ourselves in a situation and then we begin to accuse other people of things that they didn't even know happened? When the enemy is able to move people to the place of offending others, they might not even know that they're offending others. They might not be doing it on purpose. They're just doing it because they were nudged that way by the enemy. Okay? And here, Jesus was rejected by people, and his disciples wanted to say, let's call down fire. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand what spirit is operating. Your job is not to destroy man. Your job is to save me. See? I'm not frustrating the grace of God. When you function like that, you don't know that attitude causes God to go, to leave, to be stilled in his voice to you. You saw that with Samson. Remember Samson? In Judges chapter 16, Samson was accustomed to just winning all the time. He was just, knocking down stuff, going through stuff. And so Delilah was trying to find out what was his strength. And he was just teasing her, saying anything, and still going around and destroying things. And then so he finally told her what the true source of his strength was, being a Nazarite. So he said, if I'm not supposed to cut my hair. And so he went to sleep. She cut his hair. And then she tested him. He said, what she said all the time. She said, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And then he got up and he went to fight. But it says that he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord, he said, I'll go out as in other times before and shake myself. But he didn't know that the Lord was departed from him. See? Didn't know that he couldn't do what he could do because he was in close fellowship with God. And then he became settled in his own strength to do it. And that so Samson, a mighty warrior for God. But he started being lapsed in the relationship. He said he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. And then also, you can find another account of this in for Eli in 2 Samuel chapter 4. Because the children of Israel were just not used to losing. But because the prophet Eli was slack in his responsibility, he didn't raise his sons in the same all respect of God that we need to have. And so his sons was out and look at verse 17. And after the fight that they got whooped, it said a messenger came back to him and he answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines. We ain't supposed to be running from our enemies. We got God as our back. And there has been a great slaughter among thy people and thy two sons also, Phinehas and Hophni. It says they're dead and the ark of God was taken. And it came to pass that when he mentioned that the ark of God, that Eli fell from off his seat backwards by the side of the gate, broke his neck, and he died. For he was an old man. He was fat. He was heavy. And he judged Israel for 40 years. And when his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, she was pregnant. She was with child. She was near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings of the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself in travail for childbirth because her pains were upon her. And about the time of her death, the women stood by her and said, fear not, thou hast borne a son. And she answered not, neither did she regard it. But she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, because her father-in-law and her husband were dead. See, the things were happening, and they didn't even know that the power of God that was sustaining them was no longer there. It was no longer available. But God was with Joseph. See, he kept his heart yearning for the presence of God. But sometimes in our anger, we didn't know that the Lord had departed. We didn't know that the glory had moved on. Okay? That glory that empowered us for victory. All right? Then we pick the story back up in chapter 39 in verse 39? Yeah, 39 looking at, we had just said that God had showed him favor, right? And that everything that happened, God was showing him favor. And where am I at here? I'm trying to find where I'm at. Yeah, God had put everything that he put his hand into. Again, he says that the favor that Joseph had, well, this is what I was looking for. The favor that Joseph had had to be found favor. All right? It had to be found favor. Do we just walk around in our pride, not knowing what the favor for that day is? What's the intent for that favor? See, everything that Joseph did, whatever he put his hands to, whatever he was working on that day, he expected, looked for the favor of God to be made manifest for. See? Jesus, the Bible says he tasted death by the grace of God. See? He was looking for it. He wasn't looking for hardship. He wasn't looking for, oh, I got to go to work. He was looking for, how is God going to be glorified in my life today? See, grace is not for our mistakes. Grace is for saying that verse 40. And here we are again, chapter 40, excuse me. That God showed him favor even when he went to the prison. It says that the same thing that happened when he was in the house of the captain of the guard, God showed him favor, the same favor, because when we have a heart that's after God, a heart that's pursuing him for the favor to be made manifest, not for our good, but for the good of the people of God, then God will increase your territory. He will enlarge your territory so that you would have more influence and more impact. Okay? So here we go again. That in the prison, that he found the favor of God. I mean, I'm looking at, again, the word that he found favor. Yes, it could be done by the sovereignty of God. But if I'm not looking for God to bless or favor, empower me to prosper, okay, in every area, I'm looking for it. Anything that it comes up as a challenge, I'm not going to get mad because of the challenge. I'm going to look for the favor. I'm going to look where good is going to overcome the evil. See? I'm going to do that on purpose. Those that diligently seek him, those are the ones that he can reward. I'm not going to be found complaining about this or that. No, I'm going to diligently seek him. And it says that in chapter 39, verse 21, that he showed Joseph, he showed him verse 21. It says that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all that there were in the prison. Whatever he did, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and the Lord did make whatever he did, the Lord did make that to prosper. I mean, to be able to see things like that in your life, that your testimony, see, he gave you this favor for a testimony so that people can see it. They will see your good works, and they will glorify God. So then, it came to pass, chapter 40, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two officers and the chief of the butlers against the chief of the bakers, put them in the ward, and the captain of the guard into the prison where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard simply said, Joseph, keep him. And look at this. He told Joseph to keep him. And Joseph served them. Wait a minute. I thought you was in jail, old Joe. Joseph served them in jail. See? I mean, do we have that heart that in the midst of trouble that we're still going to serve the Lord? Or are we just looking for a way to get away from it? Just in prison, Joseph served them. And they continued a season in the ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to their interpretation of the dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt were bound in prison. And Joseph came to him in the morning, and he looked up, and behold, he said, "Why are y'all sad?" And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward in the Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said, "We've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said, "Do not the interpretations belong to God? Tell me now, I pray thee." And so the chief butler told his dream, and it was, we know that you can read the account for time's sake. And then Joseph interpreted and said in verse 12, the interpretation is this: the three branches were 3 days, and within 3 days, the Pharaoh shall lift up thine head and restore you unto the place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the manner when you worship his butler. But when you get there, he said, "Think on me, show me kindness, I pray thee, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And also here, I've done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon." And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "Well, let me tell you my dream." And he went through. And then Joseph in verse 18 said, here's the interpretation. The baskets are 3 days. And within 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift thy head from off of thee. And he shall hang thee on a tree. The birds shall eat thy flesh from thee. And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto his servants. And he lifted off the head of the chief baker and the chief butler among his servants. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. He gave his cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him. But yet, the chief butler remembered, yet not the chief butler remembered Joseph, but he forgot him. Then we got 2 more years that that's going to pass. So we've got somewhere around 4 years, 5 years that this whole thing is taking, because you have to have 2 babies. Well, excuse me, I'm sorry. We got about somewhere around 25 years, because you got 2 babies that grew up. And then 2 years after that, okay? So then Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And it was a strange dream, caused the Pharaoh to wake up scared. And he just kind of went back to sleep. Next thing you know, he dreamed it again all in one night. And then he was frustrated. So he asked all of the magicians and the soothsayers, and he asked them in verse 8, all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them the dream, but there was none that could interpret unto Pharaoh. Then the chief butler said to Pharaoh, "I remember my thoughts this day. This is what happened. You was mad, and you put your captain of the guard, the chief baker, in there. They dreamed, and then what happened, this young man, verse 12, interpreted as a Hebrew servant of the captain, the guard, and told them and interpreted us our dreams according to each dream did he interpret. And it came to pass that exactly what Joseph said is what happened. And so then Pharaoh said, okay, good. Bring him to me. Verse 14, and he went and brought Joseph hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment. He came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I've dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it."
And I've heard say that you can interpret dreams. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me, but God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, these are my dreams. And then he said, there's a strange thing that made me wake up. I dreamed 7 years of corn that was starving and 7 years of corn that was good. And he said, and the seven calf that was, look at the way he says it here. He said, behold, there came, verse 18, there came out seven kind, fat, fleshed, and well-favored. And then they fed in the meadow. And then there was seven kind that came up, poor and ill-favored, and lean flesh. He says, as such, I've never seen in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the ill-favored kind did eat up the seven fat kind. And when they had eaten it up, it could not be known that they'd even eaten at all. They were still ill-favored. So I woke up. Then I went to sleep again, and I saw seven stalks of corn that came up. They were good. And then seven bad, blasted with the east wind. And he said, the ears that were good ears, and I told this, he told that the same process happened. And I told it to my magicians, but no man could declare it to me. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Verse 26, he said, the seven good kind were 7 years. And the seven good ears were 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up is 7 years. And the 7 years blasted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. And because the thing that which is spoken to Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he shows you. Behold, there comes 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after that 7 years of famine. And the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following it, but shall be very grievous. In that the dream is doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it's because the thing is established by God, and it will surely bring it to pass. Now, this is what you need to do. Look for a man that's discreet and wise over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land. Let them take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 70th years. And then let them gather all the food that of the good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the city. And the food shall be in store against the land, against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt. And the land shall not perish through the famine. And this thing was good in Pharaoh's eyes and all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, well, can we find such a one, a man that the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all these things, there is none so discreet as thou, none so wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house. According to thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne shall I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from off his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him with the vestures of linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot in Egypt, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without me, without thee, shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. He said, nobody can even move if you don't tell them to move. See? Because of the presence of God. Because of how he continually sought God. God showed him favor. So I guess what I'm asking is, because I said here that God is present to to present presence. So then if I'm not utilizing God's presence to alter or affect change, I need to kind of go slow down and see where the Spirit of the Lord has left, has departed. Okay? Because God wants us to be victorious in everything. God wants us to function at a level above what the enemy can do. We have to learn to seek him that way. And so Joseph, they said that they went on and they, this is what I wanted to see. So now, in verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before the Pharaoh of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Remember, Joseph was 17 when he had the vision. Then somewhere around 25, he began to be active in other people's visions. And then at the age of 30, it says, he finally got to where the dream that he had at 17 was in full bloom. Because now he is ruler of all the land of Egypt. And people had to, when they saw him coming, they had to bow the knee. See? God's working on the things that he wants to be made manifest in your life. But our job is to be faithful in those times. See? Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, but I need for you to be of good cheer. I don't want you being children that demand and never serve. I want you to be children that know how to stand and serve. See? Then it says, verse 47, and in the 7 years of previous years, it says the earth, come on, y'all, come on, come on. In the seven plentiful years, it said the earth got involved with the plan of God. It said the earth brought forth by handfuls. It didn't even say that they went out and irrigated. It didn't say that they went out and tilled the land. They did their job, but their job was to harvest it. Because God calls even the earth to get involved. According to this scripture, says in the 70th years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And when he gathered up all the food for 7 years, which the land of Egypt, and laid up for the cities, the food for the field, which was round about every city, he laid up in the same. Joseph gathered, come on, corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he did what? Left off numbering, for it was without measure. Come on, y'all. You couldn't number it. When we allow our hearts to be consumed by the presence of God and stop trying to demand that he does what we want him to do, but allow his presence to be enough. Okay? They had this understanding, the children of Israel. My God shall supply all my needs. And they stopped. Come on, let's look at this. They stopped flowing in that because Canaan, the place where God had appointed them to be in the position of receiving, it said that place also was in a famine. See? That the famine was all over Egypt. We need to get our heart in the place where we are accustomed to living in the abundance. And knowing that the way to get to the abundant flow is not because of my works. It's because of my fellowship. I'll say that again. My ability to have abundance and have that abundance sustained is not going to be by my work. It's going to be by my fellowship. I need to know him as the God that's more than enough, El Shaddai. See? I need to become intimate with him for what he wants to do. It's the Lord's pleasure to give us the whole kingdom. See? And as we are in the last days, it's going to be more and more necessary for us to display the glory of God in every situation so that we won't even know what we got because it will be in abundance. It says that he gathers the corn as the sand of the sea. Very much. Until he just left off numbering. He didn't even have to do inventory anymore. See? Wouldn't you like to live your life from that position? From that flow of grace? See? Because God is present to present presence. See? He's not just wanting to hear your begging prayers. He wants your mouth to release the praise of God, to be able to perpetually thank him. That's what it says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't have time to complain. I don't have time to demand. My mouth is going to continually release glory. Let everything that have breath, so since I can breathe, then the praise of God is going to flow because he wants me to enter into an innumerable blessing, a blessing that cannot be measured. And then because Joseph is enjoying the blessing of the Lord, look at what he said in verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons in the year before the years of famine came. And this is the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph named his first son Manasseh. And the reason he said that his name is because God has made me forget all of my toils and all my father's house. God erased all of the stuff that he went through. God erased all of the work that he had to go through. He said the firstborn was named Manasseh. The second child was called Ephraim because he said, God has made me to be fruitful. Check it out now. In the land of my affliction. That's why I said the answer to your trial is in your trial if you would have the right attitude. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the Lord was with Joseph. Well, your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for the example of Joseph so that we can see and experience through fellowship that our victory is going to be greater than our trial, that our victory is going to be without number, without measurement, that it'll be easy for those that we are to witness to see and understand that God is with us. Strengthen us by your word, sir, so that we'll be able to walk out the plan that you have for us. And that plan is a plan that's more than enough, a plan of us living in the land of plenty, even in the place of my travail, in the place of that evil deeds that were done to us. The place where we travail
is the place that you will show up and remove all of the thoughts of our trial, tribulation, and you will be able to show us grace that is sufficient. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord said together. Amen. Amen. As we do, we ask if there are any questions or comments about the ministry today. So area code 770-964-7501. Do you have any questions or comments about the ministry? Go ahead.
I enjoyed it, a bit of it, and the funny thing about it, I was just talking to my son, and we were talking about the same thing, Joseph, and how he found favor with God and so forth. But the thing was that I really enjoyed was he was faithful to God no matter what he was in. So, and I was sharing that with him, no matter what you're in, you be faithful to God. God will make a way for you.
My brother, I'm so glad you said it that way. I hadn't thought about it from this perspective. But my faithfulness also measures my victory and the supply that God is going to give to me. If I'm a little faithful, God's not mad, but I can only enjoy a little of the reward. Yeah.
Right.
As you have believed, so be it unto you. So when you said it that way, that because God's monitoring, he's watching our faithfulness. Glory to God. So when we just allow our life to be day after day after day faithful to God, then he's able to make sure that each day becomes a blessing, a flow that you can't even measure. Glory to God. Amen.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Friday.
Thank you for being on the call.
Yeah. Come from a mud hole.
Amen. Glory to God. That's what he did. Say he came from the mud hole to be the prince. From the pit to the palace. Ain't that what they say?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Hey, and the good part about it, that's what he wants to do. See? He wants to display, he wants us to display his glory. So he'll take you from the pit to the palace. See? But we have to, again, even in the pit, display faithfulness to him. Because that's how he can now release through our faithfulness his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Amen. Glad to have you on the call, sir. Area code 404-536-7829. Excuse me. 536-7829. Go ahead.
Yes, it was a blessing.
Glenn, you got the mic.
The minister was a blessing, and it encouraged me to just trust God no matter what state we're in.
No matter what state. Paul told us that, isn't it? He said that no matter what state I'm in, I've learned therewith to be, what he said, content.
Content.
And see, I say that when he says that, he didn't say that my expectation is to stay there. He said, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to abound.
Yes.
So sometimes I could say that we just say, okay, I'm just going to stay in the place of want. No, he said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content because I know how to abound.
Yes.
See? And I mean, we would hear the scripture because that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we give God those testimonies that glorify the devil more than does God. And we practice the problem more than we practice the victory. See? So then if you want to quote the scripture, you know that wherever state I'm in, there we'll be content. Please finish it. He said, I've learned how to do both.
Yes.
So maybe we should spend more time learning how to abound. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Again, thank
Amen.
You for being on the call. Amen. 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 So if this ministry has been a blessing to you, or if you've been challenged to grow in any way, then please allow God to reveal to you how to be a blessing to this ministry through the giving of tithes, gifts, and offerings. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com. Find the donate tab, and so you see, because we are only on the air through the generous offerings of you, those who are listening, those of you who are cyber members here at livedeliverance.com, we want to thank you for seeking the Lord and partnering with us so that we can take the gospel
to all the world. I'd also like to remind you to invite your friends, family members, and coworkers to join us where they can listen and participate on the broadcast every Monday from about 9 to 10:30 as we all grow in faith and fellowship in the Spirit right here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we gather together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. I'd also like to thank all of those of you who are military and you served us and blessed us with your service. So we want to thank you for your service on this day that's set aside to honor the veterans. So until next time, be blessed.